Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis, and I am ecstatic. I am thrilled that you have made a decision to join me yet again for another episode. If you're new to the channel, I welcome you. Thank you so much for making the decision to join me and share in the conversation. For those of you who are not new, who have been joining me from the beginning or in the middle or just last week, you are now someone who has returned. You're a loyalist, and I thank you so much for your support. Wouldn't be able to do this without you. Now, whether you're new or returning, I have an ask, and it is this, as always, to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube as we get into this week's occurrences. As you know, with this president, like I've been saying since November 5th, never a dull moment. Something is always, always going on. All right, folks, buckle up because this one's a doozy. Okay, so you remember Jussie Smollett, right? The guy who thought he could pull off a hate crime by Chicago's hiring two guys to put a noose around his neck and claim that he was attacked by Trump supporters. You remember that guy, right? Well, it looks like we've got ourselves a sequel, except this time it's in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and the plot twist is even dumber. Now, there's this woman, her name is Latarsha Brown, walks into her office, if I can give you this plot here, sees a rope on her desk, this tiny, tiny little rope, and thinks, you know what? Let's go ahead and call the cops and start a race scandal today. That's what I'm going to do for today's objective. The only thing missing is the camera crew. But don't worry, folks, just like Jussie, she forgot that police do things like investigate. And guess whose DNA was all over the noose? Yep, you guessed it. It was hers. Now, it's like these people, they think they're running their own Netflix special, but they forget that real life doesn't have a script and there's no cut or take two when you get caught. I mean, Smollett hired two guys to help him out, and this woman just thought, yeah, I'll make a call to the cops and they'll never, ever figure it out. They'll never, ever be the wiser. What's next? Are we going to start seeing more of these staged hate crimes? Are they going to continue? Are they going to multiply now that we have Donald Trump back in office? Is every office in America going to have a noose on the desk incident? I mean, maybe people should just start carrying around their own rope and say, I'm going to do this for diversity training. I mean, at this rate, these folks are only helping Trump's reelection campaign with every idiotic stunt they pull. Okay. Yes, I did say something about a third term with the little innuendo. Okay. So let me give you a rundown of this case. Okay. In case you haven't heard about it or you need the details. So the Dems, as you know, they never, ever get enough of the noose routine. Okay. I was talking to Rick as we were setting up today and I said, they just love the noose. They are obsessed with nooses and still attempt to push the narrative of the scare that white supremacy is still lurking, right? That crazy, scary white supremacist is lurking. He's in schools. He's in NASCAR. He's in the subway and he's in the workplace. There's a good chance that there's a white supremacist hiding in the bushes or in a closet waiting with a noose. Okay, so recent hate hoaxes have occurred and clearly continues. Like last year in St. Louis, Missouri, a noose was found in the restroom of a stadium used by state football teams. And of course, the NAACP immediately swooped in, blames conservatives, and said conservatives were responsible for fostering an atmosphere of bigotry. But after many extensive conversations and investigation by the school board, they put out a statement saying, we do not believe this to be a racially motivated incident. And without elaborating any further, said that this was the action of a kid in crisis. Okay, so this was the action of a kid in crisis and no other explanation was given. But the school district put out a statement about racism anyhow, saying, quote, we understand the symbolism of a noose and the harm it has caused to our community. The Francis Howell School District will not tolerate hate or racially motivated violence in our schools or on our campuses, end of quote. Another case last year on a college campus at Sherwood High School, a staff member thought she spotted a noose. Okay, she thought she saw one. Apparently, the staff member spotted a small rope tied in a manner in the resemblance of a noose draped over a fence surrounding the school's tennis court. Ultimately, it turned out to be a normal rope. Just a rope hanging on a fence. But the principal still apologized. Not a noose tie, just a rope. But the principal felt the need to put out a statement saying this, and I quote, "While our investigation determined that the individuals involved did not intend to communicate a racist or anti-Black message, the impact of such imagery is deeply harmful and cannot be understated." So apparently it's really, really harmful and distressing to Blacks to see just a random rope hanging on a fence. Okay, and I continue to quote, "We recognize how disturbing and upsetting this symbol can be, particularly to our Black members, and we're treating this matter with the utmost seriousness," because it's very serious when you find random ropes hanging around on and swinging from, or, you know, on fences. It's very distressing. So the principal apologized for a rope. So if you go to a hardware store, an outlet, or horticulture, where there's horticulture products, or, you know, any kind of, you know, services or anything like that, where there's lots of rope, this can be very triggering and traumatizing for Black patrons, Black customers. Therefore, the managers, the owners, and staff should apologize for the presence of rope and any configuration that the rope may be in, because it could be very triggering and distressing for Black customers and Black patronage. Okay. Now, in 2022, at the University of Virginia, this continues, a noose caused a big uproar after a statue of Homer was seen with a noose around its neck on the campus's south lawn. Now, according to UVA's Alumni Magazine, the incident and the noose caused, quote unquote, mounting unease for Black UVA community members. Now, UVA officials, including the president of the university, suggested that white supremacy was to blame with no evidence of the crime, but just said it anyway. There was no evidence of this. There was no evidence of white supremacy, didn't have a source of who it was. They had absolutely no information, but decided to just say, put it out there that white supremacy was to blame. Now, as it turned out, it was some guy who lived in a neighborhood nearby who was upset with Homer because he thought that Homer was a pedophile and had nothing to do with race whatsoever. Just felt that pedophiles should be punished and put a noose around the neck of the statue. No one at UVA apologized for the statement. No one came out to reverse the statement or to acknowledge that they were wrong in calling out an unproven statement. And let's not forget, in 2021, when nooses were being reported all across the country as being spotted at construction sites, right? Do you remember this? Construction workers were being blamed for being racist, with sightings of nooses at the Obama's presidential temple, random Amazon construction sites. And the media was sure these sightings were race-based. And in spite of investigations, media attention, and large cash rewards, no one ever found the culprit. And they were shutting down construction sites because they kept finding rope, but no culprit. No one apologized in 2018 when CNN, CBS, and ABC News reported nooses turning up in random trees near the Mississippi State Capitol. Now, CBS reported that, and I quote, "State and federal investigators have tried to find out who hung 7 nooses in trees outside of the Mississippi Capitol early Monday, a day before a U.S. Senate runoff that has focused attention on the state's history of racist violence." And in the end, it turned out that Democrats had hung the nooses. One of the signs in the trees read as this: "We're hanging nooses to remind people that times haven't changed." You got that right. Democrats are still using the noose, still race baiting, still poking at that narrative of slavery and keeping Black people fired up and emotional and angry. Somehow, CBS failed to mention that detail in their superior reporting. Now, a year earlier at Michigan State University, a student claimed that a noose was hanging outside of her dorm room. The university president immediately put out a statement alleging racism was to blame. Quote, a noose is a symbol of intimidation and threat that has a horrendous history in America. Now, but in the end, the nooses turned out to be a package leather shoelace that was dropped accidentally. Someone just accidentally dropped a shoelace, and somehow that got turned into a noose being left outside of a Black student's dorm room. A similar incident occurred in 2017 on the Kansas State University campus when a supposed noose was found on campus and students protested, demanding more security by starting a social media campaign, which they named Don't Leave Us Hanging. But as Michelle Malakin pointed out, the noose was actually pieces of nylon parachute cord police believe had been discarded by someone who was simply practicing trying different types of knots. That's all that was. Malakin also identified another faux noose hysteria case at Salisbury State University, where students, faculty, and administrators were horrified when a stick figure hanging from a noose on a whiteboard was discovered at the school's library. Now, in the end, two Black students were determined to be responsible for that. And of course, no charges were ever filed. We never heard anything after that. And in 2015, at the University of Delaware, Black Lives Matter, Burn, Loot, and Murder, okay, that's what BLM actually stands for, protested over alleged nooses hanging from trees. But those nooses ultimately turned out to be remnants of paper lanterns made out of metal used as decorations for some kind of celebration that they had that previous weekend. And I could go on and on and on with many, many other cases, many more stories, as there are more instances of noose hoaxes and faux noose hysteria as caused by the Democrats. And I could easily give several more examples. But I got to digress. I digress back to this Pennsylvania case. Okay, so this Latarsha. So this Allentown City employee, Latarsha, who initially claimed that a noose was placed on her desk in January, has now been accused of fabricating the incident, according to investigators. Now, she faces charges in connection with the false report. Her name is Latarsha Brown. She's 42. She's a city worker in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and she's accused of placing a noose on her desk and then misleading authorities by reporting that someone else had done it. Now, on January 10th of this year, shortly after 7 a.m., Brown arrived at her office on the third floor of the Allentown City Hall. This is how it went down. And within a half an hour, she contacted the Allentown police, informing them that she had found a noose on her desk when she arrived for work. Now, as the investigation unfolded, authorities spoke with other city employees who had been on the third floor of the city hall between the afternoon of January 9th and the morning of January 10th when she found this very traumatizing, triggering noose. All employees except for Brown herself agreed to provide DNA samples for testing. Now, while Brown initially cooperated with the investigation, she later requested that it be halted, according to the police. Now, the noose was sent to the Pennsylvania State Police Crime Lab for DNA testing on January 14th, 4 days later. And on January 24th, the Lee County District Attorney's Office approved a search warrant to obtain Brown's DNA, which was collected later that day. Now, Brown's sample was then sent to the Pennsylvania State Police Bethlehem Regional Crime Lab on January 27th for comparison with the DNA found on the noose. And on March 10th, 2025, this year, the Pennsylvania State Police Forensic DNA Division issued a report confirming that Brown's DNA matched the same found on the horrendous, triggering, very intimidating, traumatizing noose. The investigation revealed no other DNA profiles on the noose itself. And as a result, Brown was charged on March 24th with tampering with physical evidence and for filing false reports to law enforcement. Brown is scheduled for a preliminary hearing on April 22nd. She didn't lose her job, by the way. She still works at the city hall at this moment. At this time, no legal representation has been listed for her in online court records. still kept her job. Okay. People are still outraged, even though they found out that she lied. And so this continued to go on. So the news saga continues. They get to add another news story to their side. The Dems never quit. They are obsessed with nooses. Savage Truth. No one is traumatizing or terrorizing Black people with nooses on construction sites or in dorm rooms or sporting locations or in the workplace on a desk. No matter how racist you may be, this simply is not happening. Okay, this is not how, if there are racist people out there, that's not how they're doing it. Okay, it's not that overt. It's just not happening. But clearly, that race card is more than difficult to let go by the Dems. They love playing that race card. So we'll keep an eye out for Latarsha's case. Now, for those of you who have been paying attention this week, you couldn't help but notice what was going on in Capitol Hill with investigations by NPR CEO Catherine Mayer. Okay, which was an embarrassment for her and the entire organization and for journalists altogether, I would say. Catherine Mayer's testimony before Congress was nothing short of a disaster. Okay, and it couldn't have been more embarrassing for NPR. As the CEO of a taxpayer-funded organization, Mayer stumbled through basic questions about NPR's political bias like a deer in headlights. And instead of offering any defense of NPR's so-called neutrality, she gave evasive, empty answers that only proved what we've known for years. We on the right side. NPR is nothing more than a mouthpiece for the left. Her inability to even acknowledge the glaringly obvious bias in NPR's reporting was a disgrace to anyone who expects any semblance of accountability from an organization funded by the American people. Rick, go ahead and play the video.
Over a seven-month period, the Media Research Center discovered the PBS NewsHour gave over 90% of the airtime to the left on gender ideology stories, 90%. As mentioned earlier, PBS was the outlet that featured the child predator drag queen on the education show for kids ages 3 to 8 years old. And to clarify the record, because our witness, Ms. Kerger, lied under oath and said it wasn't featured on PBS, this show was aired on PBS on April 1st, 2021. And we will take a look at this video right now. We're using a TV today because our audio system is having problems. Let's go ahead and watch this video.
So, get your singing voices ready. Now we're going to start with our hips. The hips on the drag queen go swish, 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 swish. The shoulders on the drag queen go shimmy, 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 shimmy. Blah, 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 blah. The mouth on the drag queen goes blah, 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 all through the town.
The hips go swish, swish, swish. The shoulders go shimmy, shimmy, shimmy. That's repulsive. That's not what children ages 3 to 8 should ever be watching. A grown biological man posing as a woman.
Now, NPR and PBS have become nothing more than mouthpieces for the Democrat Party, as I said, and it's absolutely infuriating that taxpayers are still forced to fund these blatantly biased outlets. Time and time again, both networks have shown their true colors by consistently pushing left-wing narratives and relentlessly promoting Democrat policies, all while pretending to be impartial and objective. Shimmy, 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 swish, swish, swish. Are you kidding me? This is what they want to show to children. Whether it's covering the latest liberal cause or demonizing conservatives, NPR and PBS have made it painfully obvious that they've abandoned any semblance of journalistic integrity. Instead of reporting the news as they should be doing, is what their job is what they actually get a check for, they've decided to act as propaganda machines. Right, as activists, selectively choosing what stories to tell and how to frame them to benefit the Democrat side. It's a disgrace to these networks, to the American people, which claim to serve the public good. and they've become nothing more than a free platform for liberal elites to push their agenda. It's not just an occasional slip up either. This bias is embedded in every single thing that they do, right? It's the tone, it's the framing, it's the guests, it's the stories they highlight, and the ones that they bury all scream Democrat propaganda. They're not interested in presenting both sides fairly. They're only interested in advancing the liberal agenda. From their coverage of elections to showing drag queens, shimmy, 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 swish, 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 to their endless glorification of left-wing figures and policies, NPR and PBS alike have become the epitome of media bias. And what's even worse, they're doing it with my money, with Rick's money, with my producer's money, with your money, okay? The hardworking Americans are forced to fund this liberal echo chamber is maddening. Why should we have to subsidize an organization that mocks our values and ignores the millions of Americans who don't agree with their radical left-wing worldview? It's time to defund NPR and PBS and stop letting our money go to waste. And we have to round this all out with Tampon Tim, because after all, as you know, folks, I am here in Minnesota, okay? And I have to keep you abreast as to what Tampon Tim Elmer Fudd is doing. And so because I am in this state, I am obligated to keep you informed on the efforts of Mr. Tampon, who is clearly campaigning across the state. Now, this time he was in Wisconsin, but here he is calling for a shadow government. Watch the video.
This one's the core. We saw just recently Donald Trump's executive order to make it more difficult, specifically to women, trying to make it more difficult for women to be able to vote. We see one of the first things they do is try and restrict the vote. This is one of the things, though, that this is going to take power to the streets. And I don't know what the answer is on this, but I've been saying this. I think we need a shadow government. So when all these things come up every single day, we've got an alternate press conference telling the truth about what things are happening.
So Tim Walz, unfortunately, we still call him, he's still governor here in Minnesota. But Tim Walz's comments about needing a shadow government to expose the actions of the Trump administration are not only deeply troubling as they are, but also incredibly dangerous to our democratic principles. Okay, for a sitting governor to suggest that an alternative government be created to undermine the elected administration is nothing short of an assault on the very foundation of our constitutional system. This is a governing leader telling you to sidestep the system in which he's supposed to support. This rhetoric is a clear example of the lengths to which Democrats are willing to go to delegitimize a duly elected president and to sow division within the country. And instead of working with the administration for the good of the nation, which is what he should be doing, Walz and his allies seem more interested in stoking chaos, creating mistrust, and furthering partisan divides. The idea of a shadow government isn't just irresponsible. It's more than that. It's an attack on the will of the people who voted for Trump and a blatant attempt to subvert the Democrat process. Walz's comments also show how far the left is willing to go in order to discredit any administration that doesn't align with their values. By calling for a shadow government, Walz isn't advocating for transparency or accountability as he should be. He's advocating for an unelected, behind-the-scenes political apparatus that could manipulate the system and thwart the will of the people. It's a call for lawlessness, folks. It's a call to undermine our elected leaders in favor of a partisan agenda. And he's not even speaking. Keep in mind, he's not speaking to the majority. 73% of the American electorate wanted Donald Trump in, right? So these are the people that are in the minority. It's about destroying our democracy. It's about destroying our republic. And the people of Minnesota and the nation deserve better than this kind of dangerous anti-democratic rhetoric. If Walz truly, truly, truly cared about transparency, and he doesn't, and accountability, which he clearly doesn't, he would focus on constructive oversight through legal and constitutional means. He doesn't know the Constitution. Not by creating an underground government by attacking a sitting president. Actually, now that I think about it, after the embarrassing run that he had with vice as the vice president candidate, and considering the numbers as reflected to his popularity, which is negative, and the mass stumping he and Harris received in comparison to Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, Tim Walz should just go away. That's the real will of the people. And that, my friends, is the Savage Truth. Here's another play of Savage Soldiers. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.